You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
At this point, there's really nobody that I'd rather talk to than Buster Olney. We just lost him for a half sec, so we should have him back here in just a moment. But, you know, he's been so plugged in on this whole thing to begin with. And I can't even fathom where we are, so we welcome him in right now. Buster, it's Chris. It's a busy day. I really appreciate your time, and I guess my first question is just how?
Wow. And that is a complicated answer, how we got here. Look, you and I have talked about, you know, the idea that one side or the other is completely responsible for it is just wrong. You know, the Players Association, after they just got crushed in the 2016 CBA talks, they didn't really engage. They haven't engaged in recent years, so there hasn't been a dialogue, and the Players Association has contributed to that. And I feel like in the last 6 weeks, the owners have made terrible mistakes in these negotiations by being so stark in some of their offers. You know, when we started this in the middle of May, I was hearing from moderates, agents, you know, players, and they felt like, okay, maybe we can work something out. But right away, when the owners started to give the impression that they were going to just give reconstituted spam every week with the offers they made rather than actually change, then I think a lot of the moderates were driven to the what's, you know, being basically referred to as the Scott Boras wing of the Hawks in the Player Association. And so now, you know, the two sides are where they are, and what a, you know, they each is blaming the other for X, Y, and Z. But the bottom line is it's an absolute debacle for the game.
How did we get from 9 days ago when you got two men in the same room? And I heard what you said. It's like asking Tony Clark to take on Rob Manfred in a home run hitting contest if you're going to have those two guys negotiating. But you came out of it. Everybody was feeling relatively okay, and now it's as nasty as ever. Now, what happened in between here?
Well, after that, because as you know, Rob walked out of there, as he's come out and said, you know, I had an understanding of what took place. We thought we had a deal at 60 games. I started to hear right away from folks in the player side when the first details leaked out, 60 games, full pro rata, that folks on the player side were saying, wait, we're not going to get more than that? Don't we have more leverage than that? Are there more details to come? Are we going to negotiate, you know, 64, 65, something in that range? And then the owners began to get mad because they felt like, wait, I thought, you know, we had some sort of an agreement. I thought we had some sort of an arrangement. You know, the feeling is that the Hawk wing, the Hawkish wing on the player's side, after seeing the details that Tony had talked about with Rob, they didn't like it, threw him overboard and asked for another set. And that made the owners mad, and they kind of dug in, which is why I thought all along that the owners, because they've got the greater wealth, the greater access to, you know, pile of cash, needed to be the ones to step out into the middle ground and make an aggressive offer that would lead to an agreement. But that never really happened. And so we are where we are now, and it just feels like a mutually assured destruction.
Buster Olney of ESPN, of course. Tonight, owners are supposedly having a call here. They need eight to say they don't want to play a season. What do you think? Is there a chance that that actually happens?
No, I think they'll at least try. Because remember, they have, you know, as we sit here today, I think anyone who's somewhat rational probably recognizes that even if they actually get in a, you know, make a decision to try to push ahead, it may well be derailed. I think everybody sees that, but I think Major League Baseball, with its television contracts, wants to do what it can to put on a product. Yeah, there are owners who would like to shut it down, but I think there are other owners saying, look, we need to push ahead. Here's the problem, and it's why you really hope for resolution in this matter before what happened this evening, is that, Chris, if in fact Rob implements, then you can just see the dominoes falling right behind it. You're going to have right away, because the system's being rammed down the throats of the players. I'm hearing on the player side predictions of a lot of players simply choosing not to participate. You know, some for legitimate coronavirus concerns, maybe extended family members, but then they're going to be free agents who are going to say, I'm not going to risk, you know, what I might gain in the fall. by going out playing a short season. I'm not going to risk an injury. And so day after day after day, the bigger story might not be about, you know, Yankees and Mets. It might be about which player is walked out of their camp today. And then, of course, the Players Association is, you know, all geared up to file this grievance. I tweeted out earlier today, and it was interesting. I got both from agents and general managers said, telling me you're exactly right when I tweeted this out, that to build a long-term strategy around a grievance for the Player Association is like to bet your financial future on the lottery. I mean, you just never know what's going to happen in that regard. Then, of course, the free agents will get destroyed this fall, and then next spring, potentially, if there's no coronavirus vaccine. Chris, we could be exactly in the same spot with these two sides trying to figure out what to do about whether to play baseball, and all the larger questions would have merely been deferred.
Buster, so where does most of the blame lie in terms of the people who are negotiating? Is it with Manfred and Clark? Is it simply that they need to be taken out of that equation moving forward and they have to get some fresh faces in the room?
Look, I really, you know, I wrote a month ago that I thought that whenever the dust settles, that both sides need to do some serious self-examination about, okay, how did we get to a point where we have a relationship with the other side so unproductive and so toxic? Because it's just, it's too easy and too absurd to say, yeah, it's all the other guy's fault. Of course they've both made decisions. You know, on the Player Association side, I've never thought there's been a full accounting for how much ground the players gave up in 2016. And I don't know if that means to reframe, you know, bolster their negotiating team, but I think it's an open question. And in recent years, they just haven't engaged at moments where it seemed like they had some leverage, like a pace of play initiatives. Why not try to trade those for some financial advantages, like you know, anti-tanking measures? They didn't choose to explore that back in April as this all began to play out, and you felt like, you know what, the players have some leverage in this moment. Why not dig in and really begin to explore that? And I think on the owner's side, you know, one of the questions I have is, okay, which among – because I do think there's a silent majority of owners who want to play. Which among those guys is going to step up? You know, I think John Middleton, for example, the Phillies, who hasn't been someone in charge for very long, he would be a great candidate. But there's got to be other people in the room besides Artie Moreno, who's one of the owner hawks. You know, right. He's the owner who last week cut $180,000 worth of employees in Dominican Republic, where the average daily wage is $5 to $10 a day. There's got to be more leadership among the owners, among moderates who want to make deals. And I think on the players' side, they do need to do an accounting of how they got to this moment.
And it's so tough to take from a guy like Arte Moreno, who so many times has spent money so poorly.
100%.
All right. Aside from that here, Buster, what are we actually looking at here for the rest of this season? What does the 2020 season look like to you right now?
That it is, barring an absolute, you know, last minute overture by Rob Manfred after his conversations with the owners tonight, that it is going to be the beginning. It's going to feel like the second inning in a 9-inning labor war, where, okay, so baseball implements. They try to play a season. I've talked to two people who've seen the, you know, the protocol, health and safety protocol that they put in place. And one of them said to me, I had to stop reading a third of the way through because I was exhausted. Like, and the other person said, I don't know how they pull this off. This is so enormous and there's so many restrictions and necessarily so. But with all the spikes in the numbers we're seeing, especially in key states like Florida, like Arizona, like Texas, like California, I think a lot of people in the game are skeptical that they can actually get through this. I mean, it was only, you know, 3 days ago that they shut down all the spring training sites for the 30 teams. If they can actually play some games, then I think it is going to be an open question. Okay, which guys are going to leave which teams? You know, which teams are going to be the most hampered by defections as we go along? And no matter, you know, how it plays out, I think it's going to feel like so much less than a hole than maybe even we expected in a shortened season.
You talked about the reasonable voices, Buster. Is there anybody on either side in any important position that honestly looks at this and says, guys, we're killing this right now. We're killing the game.
I don't know if you saw. It's so funny because Trevor Bauer so often has been, you know, the flamethrower on social media. You know, he was the one who's gone after Rob a couple times. He actually tweeted like an hour ago, and I'm paraphrasing here, like, on both sides, this is a bad thing. We're driving this over a cliff. And I actually got texts from three people on management side who said, what has the world come to that Trevor Bauer is 100% right? look, I do think that the players, they need to look at, who's going to be the leaders among the group, because in this process, what's happened is that the Scott Boras wing, you know, Max Scherzer is the most prominent voice. They have controlled the room. There's no doubt about it. That's what you hear about the conference calls, that, you know, Max Scherzer is such a respected person. He's got a loud voice, and he's not someone in this moment who led everybody to the middle. On the other side, I think this is always a reminder that while Rob Manfred has a history as a deal maker, in the end, he's just a lawyer for the 30 owners. He's their caddy. You know, it's one thing that I think is this situation has borne out the difference between Bud Selig, who, you know, at times we could all, you know, chuckle about Bud and his personality, but Bud had been an owner. He was a peer of all those guys, and he could build coalitions, and he could pull people along. And so when there were moments like in the most recent days when you felt like, boy, you hope somebody on the ownership steps up and tells the owners, let's take this off the table, let's extend some financial offers. And all it probably would have taken to get to the middle ground would have been about $4 or $5 million per team, an additional $150 million to at least get this to a peaceful resolution. That person hasn't been there, and Rob wasn't able to do it, and that's not good.
I want to ask if there's any reason to feel good about anything right now, but I don't even know if that's a viable question.
Not at this moment, because you feel like it absolutely, you know, it was about 6 weeks ago when an agent texted me, said they're going to drive it off the cliff. And boy, did he turn out to be right, because it certainly feels that way. And look, it's, you know, as you and I said, that they're each side, you know, might have individual things that happen or momentary things that happen where, yeah, they could be absolutely right. You could see why the owners would be frustrated with Tony Clark. You could see why the players would be frustrated with the intransigence of the owners over the last 5 or 6 weeks. But big picture, these two sides share in this relationship, and they are killing the golden goose together.
Buster, I know it's a busy night. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chris.
Absolutely. Buster Olney, ESPN, nobody better. Again, the Baseball Tonight podcast every morning is a must listen.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.